Blog Talk Radio.
Sports website called The Clown Times. That's Clown spelled with a K. You can find me on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. And you can find me on Facebook, too, where I'm pretty much talking a bunch of stuff and acting the fool and interacting with a lot of my followers. But just do a search for The Clown Times on Facebook. And, again, that's Clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me. Tonight we're going to be actually this podcast was inspired by pretty much like LeBron making headlines or waves before the All-Star game this evening, well, All-Star weekend, talking about he should be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA all-time greats before it's said and all said and done. You know, I would tell him, you know, this guy's trying to win some more titles and, you know, just shut the hell up and worry about that shit later. But since he's 6'9", and probably could whip my ass about 50 times, I'm just going to leave that be, let that be, and we're just – pontificate here on this podcast with my man, Dwayne Nash. Y'all know him from the yard / HBCU Sports. We're going to be giving you all an idea of who will be on our Mount Rushmore of NBA greats. So before we get into it, Dwayne, what's up, brother?
Scott, what's going on?
You tell me, man. I know you're like having snow fatigue like I am in the D.C. area tonight. I mean, I heard that some flurries coming along. I'm sick and tired of shoveling and sucking up my core. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just hoping and, you know, and praying and burning incense and sacrificing chickens that it wouldn't be that it would just be some flurries and not 20 damn inches again like it was Friday and Saturday, but I should say Thursday and Friday, but. I won't dwell on the negatives. Let's focus on the positives. We're talking NBA tonight, my man. So, you all, I mean, you know what LeBron James said about him wanting to be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA greats. We have no denying his greatness. Brother could ball. He's the best player in the NBA today. Sorry, Kobe. And Kevin Durant. So just tell me this. I mean, we all know that he has a great shot at making the Mount Rushmore, NBA Mount Rushmore, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, so basically, right now, since that's in the future, that's like years down the road. I'm not going to even going to worry about that shit. But I'm going to give you who was on my Mount Rushmore of NBA greats, if you don't
okay.
mind, quick, and then we can just debate this back and forth. This is actually scary because I actually do something that I'm about to admit to doing something that I rarely do. That's agree with Skip Bayless. His Mount Rushmore of NBA greats are as follows. And mine,
okay.
too, actually, by the way. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and Larry Bird. While there are other... Yeah, I know, right? I know there are others like Hakeem Olajuwon, you know, who won titles, you know, and I know I'm missing those, like George Gervin, perhaps. Really old school. Will Chamberlain, probably Jerry West, that's a good shot. Bill Russell has an excellent shot at being on the Mount Rushmore greats. But I'm just a 40-year-old dude who doesn't know much of anything, right? So I'm just going by what I've seen and what I've seen, you know, the greatness that I was able to have been able to remember. And so that's my four. So who's come like of those four on the NBA Mount Rushmore, who should come off of that in your eyes, and who should be placed on that Rushmore?
Wow, so we're going on my eyes. And
before we start the show tonight,
oh, yes, you know, it won't be much different than yours. But before we started the show tonight, what I did was have a little bit of knowledge of Mount Rushmore and the meaning behind it, but I had to look it up one more time just to make sure. And one of the things that they talk about in terms of why it was created was to preserve the republic of this country, and also to be a telling tale of American history over, I guess, up until that point, the past 130 years. So I kind of wanted my basketball Mount Rushmore to kind of reflect that. And in doing so, what I wanted to do was I wanted to pick a bunch of winners. And I mean, I wanted to pick the greatest winners in basketball history and have it so that these four guys are identified with professional basketball here in this country, and they know that these guys are winners.
Okay.
Well, like I said, my list is it's just one different from yours. Today, you know, the list is always talked about, passed around amongst friends, barbershop talk, whatever. And my list originally was very close to LeBron's list until rethinking this and looking at things over the past couple of days and finally coming up with this list. And I'm thinking I'm sticking to this list, and I think I have a rather strong argument with this list. Number one on my list, no particular order. I'm just, you know, going down the line. Michael Jordan, of course, everyone agrees with Jordan, especially guys of our age, since we did see him play. Very remarkable. His stats speak for themselves. You know, six titles, six finals MVP titles, numerous league MVP titles. You can't deny the guy technically can be considered one of the greatest of all time. You know, that's arguably out there, but he does have something that a lot of other players don't, and he has the best win percentage of all time amongst all players, which is about 76-77%. Number two on my list, Magic Johnson, another great winner, five league MVPs, three finals MVPs, three league MVPs, 12-time All-Star, averaged a double-double in the league. Another guy you can't deny. I mean, very clutch. When it comes to championship time, you know, we've seen that, especially with his battles with the Celtics during the 80s. Another guy that we most definitely agree with as well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes.
You look at that guy's numbers. I mean, this dude was dominant for almost three decades. If you talk about high school, college, and pro.
Yep. You did it all.
This dude only lost two games in college. Two games. He was 88-2 all time at UCLA.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
71 straight wins in high school. 71 straight wins. I mean, one of those losses was to the D.C. area's own DeMatha, but 71 straight wins is ridiculous. Then you look at the numbers that he had. Well, you know. I don't like to beat myself in the chest too much about DeMatha, but, you know, that is what it is. And it is highly respected in the area, so, you know, you have to kind of respect him for that.
Well, he did go to high school. I mean, I agree with DeMatha, by the way. I mean, that's a lot of history there. I mean, we could go on about that. But he did go to, he being Kareem, did go to high school in New York City called Power High School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, but, yeah. I mean, case still taken off. Point still taken off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, but, okay. So, you know, we agree with Kareem. Kareem had huge accolades as a player as well, averaged a double-double. When he retired, that was, what was he? Was he number one all-time in terms of total points when he retired?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He still is. He still is a top player in points. Still is.
Exactly. And then one other thing that I like, they banned the dunk when he was in the league because he was so dominant. Come on, man. How, do you, whenever a player has a move banned, that lets you know how great you are with that move. You can't deny that.
And you couldn't, you couldn't stop the sky hook. Couldn't stop the sky hook.
See, you can't stop the dunk, so he develops the sky hook, which I am, and people say it all the time, I'm highly shocked a lot of big men don't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, Tim Duncan is probably a guy I would see doing it, but he has that bank shot that's killer for him as well. So he really doesn't need it. But a lot of these other guys that need a dominant move, I'm surprised they don't go to the hook shot. I understand it kind of looks corny, but it was unstoppable. It probably still is unstoppable. Somebody needs to pick it up. Neither here nor there. But my
guy. We can go on about that.
Oh, yeah, in terms of dominant moves needed by players, there are a lot of guys, in the league that if they want to become elite, they need a dominant move. A lot of these guys don't have it. You know, that's another thing about player development that I have issues with in terms of these current guys.
Exactly.
But but this fourth guy, you named him, you said it. You know, Bird was originally on my list. I mean, you can't deny Bird's numbers either. But I had to give it to another Celtic. And this guy, in my opinion, is the epitome of a winner. I mean, when you have 11 total NBA championships, you have two collegiate titles, you're a multi-all-star. They didn't even have, you know, finals MVPs when he was around. But they did have league MVPs. I think he was a league MVP once or twice. He averaged 22 rebounds in his career. How can you not give it to Bill Russell?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always debatable, but Bill is on mine. So those are my four. Jordan, Magic, Kareem, Bill Russell.
And
I don't care who really you put on your list. You really can't go wrong, especially if you have a great debate. But those are my four, and that's what I'm sticking with.
You know what? Bill Russell. Can you believe I almost forgot about that cat? Bill Russell.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. It's crazy, and it's sad because he won 11 titles in the NBA. 11 titles with the Boston Celtics in the 60s, man. And the thing is that he was a player's coach the last half of his career.
Yeah.
So you think about that. I mean, he did it all. And the fact that he was, I mean, he's arguably the greatest winner in the NBA history. I mean, hands down. I mean, 11 titles, again, 11 titles. He won 11 titles.
I don't care how bad the level of play is in the league at any particular time. No one else has ever won 11 titles.
Right. And that's the thing, because I think that's why he, particularly Bill Russell, gets I don't want to say he gets knocked, but he's very under, his accomplishments are very underrated. People underrate his accomplishments. I mean, just think about this for a minute. If people talk about Wilt Chamberlain more than they do Bill Russell, and Bill Russell beat his frat brother. Right, exactly. I mean, and the thing is, Bill Russell beat his good friend and frat brother, Wilt Chamberlain, like several times out of the NBA Finals or Conference Finals when Chamberlain was with the 76ers. So Bill Russell was always that guy who kept Chamberlain from having multiple championships. Like, I mean, more than two. He has two rings. He had two rings. I mean, he's no longer with us. But, I mean, the point is that that Bill Russell always was his ultimate equalizer. But yet Chamberlain gets talked about and celebrated more. And I can blame him because Chamberlain is probably one of the most unstoppable offensive forces ever. You know, he's 7'1".
And I will completely agree with you on that, yes.
I mean, and he was just, I mean, he didn't have a go-to move, but he was strong and he could overpower you. He could make you look very stupid. And, but he only won two titles. And, but again, Russell won 11. And he beat Chamberlain out of the Eastern Conference Finals or in the NBA Finals for several of those.
Yeah.
You know, of those. So, you know, so basically, and also I could go on about Kareem, too, to be honest with you, because, you know, sure, he's the all-time scoring leader, but people don't realize, I think he won six rings. I mean, he won.
Yes, he did.
He won, he won two with, if I'm not mistaken, he won two with Milwaukee.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm sorry. He won one with Milwaukee.
With Milwaukee, yeah.
And five with the Lakers, so that makes six.
Yeah.
And he won multiple MVPs, league MVPs. He had, I think he had one finals, at least one finals MVP under his belt. But, you know, but most people don't realize that he racked up a lot of assists. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I saw a graphic the other day where his numbers stuck up to Michael Jordan's, and I think it was actually on my blog page. But the thing is, I'm trying to look for it now. But the point is that people, and rightfully so, say that Michael Jordan is one of the greatest, if not the greatest. I just think that Kareem, you know, you can't really knock his accomplishments. Okay, I got the numbers right here. He had, like, Jordan had 5,633 assists. Kareem had 5,660 assists. and you know, he's a center, and he had more assists than Michael Jordan, right?
Yeah.
And sticking on the subject of Kareem, six NBA championships, six NBA regular season MVPs, three NCAA championships, three NCAA MVPs, 19 NBA All-Star games, 15 all-time All-NBA first teams, 11 All-NBA defensive teams first teams.
Yeah.
And he shot about 56% for his career. Over 17,000 rebounds, over 3,100 blocks, and over 1,000 steals in his career. I mean, you know, those statistically, I haven't seen anyone come close to touching other one of Kareem's marks. I really don't. And even extending it into college, he is a winner. Bill Russell are the two greatest winners, because they're ranked 1-2 in the NBA championship. Tons of stars. I mean, you got scrubs like, I don't want to call it scrub, but okay player like what's his face, Robert Horry, who had eight rings. I mean, he's not a scrub, but he wasn't a star either. So I'm not counting those cats. I'm just talking stars.
But you know what the funny thing is that I find it funny that you bring that up. You know, the whole conversation of Mount Rushmore's or people's Mount Rushmore of all time. Basketball players constantly comes up, especially in the media, and they talk to Steve Kerr and Rick Fox about it. And oddly enough, both of them had Robert Horry in their Mount Rushmore.
Yeah. Really?
And that's because, of course, Big Game Bob got him a couple of titles. So you can't...
I mean, they did call him Big Shot Rob for a reason. He did have big shots. Like, remember that shot he had over Chris Webber in the Western Conference playoffs, where they stole. And I still say this: the refs stole that series from the Kings. Okay, I'm gonna stay on that until my dying day. But that's not here nor there. But shots like that, he had a shot when he was to San Antonio. He had a shot over Rasheed Wallace that pretty much helped them win the series against Detroit that year. Larry Brown's last year in Detroit. He also had a couple of shots when he was with, at least a couple of shots, he was with the Rockets. So he earned his nickname. He definitely earned his nickname, but he's not a star. He's not an all-time great. So, God bless Rick Fox and Steve Kerr for sticking up for their guy. I mean, that's nothing short of commendable. And again, he wasn't a scrub. He's not a scrub by any means. They did call him Big Shot Rob for a reason. But yeah, let's not kid ourselves.
He had a head coach, and he had an executive on his Mount Rushmore.
Really? So basically, so you're saying that Steve Kerr had like a executive on his Mount Rushmore? I think we're having technical difficulties. Hold on for a second. I think Dwayne's back. Dwayne?
Yeah, I'm back. I do apologize about that. Somehow we got disconnected.
Oh, no worries. Yeah,
but,
I mean, cell phones, yeah.
Oh, that's fine. But like I was saying, Rick Fox actually had a player, an exec, and a head coach for Mount Rushmore, being Bill Jackson and David Stern.
Mm.
If you had choice of a coach or an executive in the league,
okay,
to replace one of your basketball players on your Mount Rushmore, who would he be and why?
Oh, he said David Stern was on here. I'll say this. First of all, let me start with David Stern. Let me explain David Stern. I actually had a rant on my blog about David Stern's legacy, since, you know, now he's out of the picture and Adam Silver's running the show now for the NBA as the commissioner now. I think that while Stern did a lot of good, I'm not going to lie that he didn't do the good that he did for the NBA. He brought to the forefront, made a whole lot of money, globalized the hell out of the league and the sport itself. I mean, if you have cats coming from Europe, Argentina, or South America, like your boy Manu Ginobili and Luis Scola, and what's the other guy who plays for the San Antonio Spurs, who Skip Bayless is in love with for some reason. I can't think of his name. I'll think of it later.
Thiago Splitter.
Thiago Splitter. There he is. Stephen A. Smith would say, Thiago Splitter, you know. You know, you got those cats coming from South America. You got, of course, the Gasol brothers coming from Spain, even though Mark Gasol, the younger Gasol brother, grew up in Memphis. While Powell used to play in Memphis. You guys, I mean, it's truly an international league. You know, Yao Ming, when he was here, you know, they have a huge presence in China, you know, and in Europe. So there's no denying, there's no denying David Stern's achievements, if you will. And I won't say greatness, I'll say achievements, okay? Because I still think the greatest commissioner of all sports was Pete Rozelle for what he did for the NFL and how he made it America's pastime, you know, replacing baseball the way it did in the 70s and 80s. But
completely agree, yeah.
I think that David Stern was the recipient of good fortune, and here's why. Back when, you know, he was the deputy commissioner when Larry O'Brien was the commissioner for the NBA. This is in the early 80s. This is while, you know, this is while, like this is during, rather, the NBA Finals is still titulating. I still remember the 1983 NBA Finals when Moses Malone and company swept the Lakers. The Finals was on tape delay that year. I was 9 years old, going on 10. I'm sorry?
I said, that's right. I completely forgot about they used to do that.
Yeah, because I had to stay up. I had to stay up late with my dad, like, on a weekend to catch the finals. Because it came on after the 10 o'clock news. I mean, the 11 o'clock news. It was Taper Lane. And you had Kareem. You had Magic, even still young, Magic Johnson. You had Dr. Mm-hmm. J on the other side with Moses Malone and Billy Cunningham coaching those boys and Pat Riley coaching the Lakers. It made Showtime, okay?
Yeah.
And that was the early 80s. So, but David Stern capitalized by what he did. He marketed teams, but he marketed stars more. So he marketed the hell out of Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Dr. J, then later on, Ralph Sampson, Akeem Olajuwon, Michael Jordan, of course. When Stern came on the scene, there was already Magic and Larry. And he, I'm not saying he meant to do this, but I think he was smart enough to know what he was doing. When, speaking of Magic and Larry, how he kind of proliferated the racial aspect of this. You got the best, two of the best players in the league, the two best players in the league, were a white dude from rural Indiana, and a brother from Michigan who's now in L.A. And then the aforementioned white dude from Boston, of all places. So that was
the interesting thing about that dynamic. Exactly.
That was racial marketing right there.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, those teams kind of took on the stereotypes of those races, where,
exactly,
talk about Showtime, Lakers, and their flashiness,
oh,
African-American, and the hard-working,
right,
scrappiness of Caucasians.
Even the Bronx,
you couldn't,
team was scrappy.
You couldn't script this any better.
Right. I mean, even Robert Parrish and Dennis Johnson and Cedric Maxwell were scrappy. And they were black.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just a stroke of racial marketing genius. I mean, there was nothing bad about it. It made an NBA a lot of money. And obviously Magic and Larry are two of the greatest who ever played the game, no matter what race. So, you can't be mad or stern about that. But going back to your original question, well, actually, I'll stay on Stern just a couple of moments more. He had Michael Jordan. He had Patrick Ewing coming to the league. He was a recipient of good fortune because he had the stars. So that's why he marketed the stars more than he did the teams. And it started off great, made the league a lot of money, but after Jordan retired, it backfired on him quickly, okay? So and we could go on about, and this is for another podcast, obviously, but we could go on about what he did with the dress code, which I didn't have a problem with, but allowing teams to move and relocate on his watch, the Sonics going to Oklahoma City for some reason, the Hornets losing their team to New Orleans, even though the Bobcats are about to get the Hornets name back, glory, hallelujah. And the failed experiment in Vancouver, how he handled the malice at the Palace, the infamous brawl between that spill in the stands in Indiana and Detroit, how he handled that. I can go on and on, but I say that to say that I would stick Phil Jackson up there any day over David Stern. People, including Yoshua, because I'm a Knicks fan, grew up disrespecting the hell out of Phil Jackson's accomplishments, mainly because, he was when he coached the Bulls, we were like, oh shit, of course he's gonna win. He has Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, two of the best at the time, and they had a good supporting cast around him in Chicago. Then in L.A., he had a good fortune of picking up with Kobe and Shaq in their primes. But here's where I learned something. Here's where I actually started to learn something. Coaching is more than just rolling the ball out, okay? And I'm pretty sure you know that, too. There's more to coaching than just X's and O's. You got to be a part-time psychologist, part-time cheerleerder, part-time hype man.
You have to be a manager of athletes,
Right, exactly. You got to manage those personalities. You got to be a leader of men. And somehow, Phil Jackson got Michael Jordan to get Scottie Pippen more involved and recognize Scottie Pippen. They also got Jordan somehow to trust his teammates more and make them better, i.e. Steve Kerr, i.e. Horace Grant, i.e. John Paxson, and so on and so forth. Luke Longley, what's the name of that Croatian cat who was pretty good? Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc, Craig Hodges. You can go all the way.
Craig Hodges. Right. Three-point champion. You know, yeah, three-point contest champion. I mean, he learned to trust his teammates, and that led to six championships.
Six
championships. And he could have had two more if he didn't lead the game when Houston won their two.
You know what? That would have been a very interesting matchup, and I would have loved to have seen those Bulls versus Rockets matchups.
I don't know if
they go that way, but I would have loved to have seen them happen.
Could you imagine? I mean, Houston was obviously the best team in the West those 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. They didn't get to the finals of the food. I would argue that the team with Clyde Drexler was better than the one that they beat the Knicks with the year before. You know, even though the Western Conference was much deeper in during the Rockets' second run, but
yeah.
That would have been interesting. That would have been a matchup bonanza, I mean, Akeem in the post, and then the second year, what's his face, Clyde Drexler doing his thing on the wing with Akeem. That would have been awesome. That's one of those basketball what ifs.
Exactly.
Know, what if Jordan was, and because Jordan was still in his prime when he quit the first time. But, you know, it would have been interesting. But going back to Phil Jackson took over the same L.A. team that, what's the name of the coach who was out there? Dale Harris had.
Yes, Dale Harris, yes.
And while Dale Harris did win some games,
won a few
on the way, he couldn't win in the playoffs. He always lost to either San Antonio or Utah.
Yeah.
And so Phil Jackson somehow got Kobe and Shaq to coexist at least for a little while, long enough to win three championships together, three consecutive championships.
Yes.
So you can't deny Phil Jackson. I love to hate on him because, like I said, I'm a Knicks fan. But, you know, he took two teams I can't stand in the Bulls and Lakers, but he did his thing as a coach. I can't deny him. I cannot deny Phil Jackson. If there was a such thing as a coach being on the Mount Rushmore of NBA greats, his ass would be up there in the New York Minute. Guaranteed. But here's some more names I could throw at you. I mean, I've heard an argument that could be made for Oscar Robertson. I heard an argument that could be made for Isaiah Thomas.
Wow.
Before mentioning Clyde Drexler, even. Elgin Baylor, if you want to go old school. Jerry West.
Yeah.
You know, the logo. you know, there's some names. George Gervin, even though he didn't win any titles. But and Dr. J, there's some arguments for Dr. J. I mean, there's so many great NBA players, which makes this debate as fun as hell, to even debate this makes it fun. Because there's so many great players, man. And Hakeem Olajuwon, I forgot about Hakeem Olajuwon. You know?
Yes.
So many great players.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, because with me, like I was saying earlier, you know, the conversation has been going around for some time. And Oscar Robertson was one of those names that was originally on my list. Because of his ability to be that triple threat in terms of points, rebounds, and assists, where he damn near averaged a triple-double for, what was it, 2 years of his career? So
he did.
Ah, that's right. That's right, he did.
Still the only player to do that. Still the only player to average a triple double in the season.
Ever.
Still the only player.
Ever.
Ever.
Exactly.
Ever.
And Larry Bird was another one of those guys on my list. I mean, he's a guy three titles. He's also a winner.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that really hurt him, in my eyes, was his matchups with – actually, it was a thing that hurt him and that helped him, was those matchups in that rivalry with Magic, and also those
right.
matchups that he had with Jordan in his early
right.
careers when they used to beat up on the Bulls. But it just happened to be that he only had four slots, and there's so many great players that have come through this league. I just find it interesting with the Isaiah Thomas aspect of it. I would love to hear that debate. One with Dr. J, I find that rather interesting as well,
right?
Especially because of his dual role of being such a superstar, not only in the
right.
NBA, but in the ABA as well. So that's
exactly.
another guy that would be, you know, somehow chiseling his face somewhere on that mountain, trying to get himself up there as well. You have to respect that guy.
Right, right, right. And that's the thing. I mean, that's the J ushered in the slam dunk contest in the NBA. I mean, he was the face of the slam dunk contest. I mean, I remember this is back when stars went into chicken shit to do the slam dunk contest. LeBron, I'm looking at you, bro. Mister, I don't want to do that. No, you're scared of shit, man. Shut the hell up.
He's at that point in his career right now where he's a little bit too old to be doing it. So I don't even care now.
Well, now, yeah.
You know, but for him to even do what he did with that viral video he just released of him doing the dunks, I'm like, dude, why would you even do that? You know
yeah.
it's going to generate controversy. Why would you even do that? I don't even want to see you no more. It's Holyfield, Tyson, it's Pacquiao, Mayweather. Dude, I don't even want to see it no more. Don't even touch me anymore. I don't care anymore, so I don't even do it. But you're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Stars, and I'm thinking maybe one more year of Damian Lillard doing All-Star Saturday. It should be enough for him. He doesn't need to do it anymore. He was in all five events this year, all five.
Right.
It was this, his second, third
right.
year. No
yeah.
more. Next year, you don't need to do it no more. I understand why you did it. It was fantastic for your brand because, of course, a lot of fans on the East Coast that are casual fans don't really know who you are. It was a fantastic
right.
way for you to get your name out there. You just do it one more time, made it more. You don't need to do it no more. You are solidified as one of the better players in the league right now. You don't need to do it no more. But, yeah, these
right.
stars that feel as though they're too big to participate in All-Star Weekend, shame on you when Dr. J did it. You're trying to tell me you better than Dr. J. You're trying to tell me you better than Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you? Magic Johnson. Magic participated in the three-point contest. How dare you? You are not greater than
right.
this dude. And for you to shit on All-Star Saturday like that is a disgrace to who you are as a player and where I place you in this league. It really is. Don't cheat the fans like that. Don't do the fans like that.
Man, you mentioned those names, man. Larry Bird used to be the three-point contest. I mean, he and Dale Ellis, all those cats.
Of three-point contest, yes.
Yeah, he did it every other year. And
yes.
of course, you know, Jordan and Dominique did a slam dunk contest. They had a one epic contest in Chicago back in 88 when Jordan had a 50 and Dominique got robbed.
Yes.
On that Tomahawk
yes.
jam. That's what the fans come to see. The best of the best doing their thing in contests like that to show how great athletes they were, how big of stars
yeah.
they were, how legend that they be. I mean, Larry Bird winning the three-point contest and his warm-ups, shooting in his warm-ups. and calling
the
shot, pointing at the sky on the last five balls on the rack.
Yes.
And then you got, in the years that Jordan didn't participate, you had Spud Webb doing his thing. A few other stars, Larry Nance in Cleveland. Well, actually, he was in Phoenix when he did it. Clyde Drexler was in Slam Dunk Contest for some years. Of course,
yes.
Dr. J, we already mentioned him. And stars showing the fans how great they are. I mean, I understand that it's beneath some of these players now because they're older, but I'm just thinking about Larry Bird, Dominique, Dr. J, Michael Jordan, and Reggie Miller. They are in their primes competing in those contests. Made that shit must-see TV. I mean, every All-Star weekend, we would tune into the three-point contest, the slam dunk contest, because out of those stars, we're in it, doing the damn thing. You don't have that now. So don't talk to me, LeBron, about being on Mount Rushmore. Shut the fuck up, win your titles, and then we'll judge you then. Right now, you don't even deserve to be in the conversation. So I don't know what the hell he's thinking. So I'm sorry
to cut you off. But you know what the interesting thing is?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to cut you off. But
No.
In the fantastic spirit of Mount Rushmore, it was actually appropriate for him to say what he said. Think about it.
Mm.
You talk about Mount Rushmore, and you look at the four presidents that are on there. Look at those four guys and tell me who does not belong on that motherfucking mountain. Theodore Roosevelt.
Right.
Who was president?
You can't take down Lincoln, of course. You can't take down George Washington because he was the first one. And I think was Thomas Jefferson up there?
Thomas Jefferson was up there, Thomas Jefferson was up there.
And he's the creator of the Constitution. Okay, so there you have it.
Exactly. So, but the interesting thing is, Theodore Roosevelt was president when they constructed or when they sculpted Mount Rushmore.
Right.
I wonder why he ended up on there. I'm just saying. And also, the whole plan for Mount Rushmore was to get tourism into the state of South Dakota. So, why not put my face up? So, I don't blame him for saying that somebody got to come down. I got to go up in the honor of Mount Rushmore and what it represents. I got to put me up there because I'm that damn good. Somebody got to come down in your eyes to put me up there on mine. And we just have other three guys up there. So I don't blame him. And, of course, as a great player, I would hope that you would say you, just to be honest. But a lot of times a lot of these guys are so modest, are so afraid of reaction if they were to say themselves.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't see themselves. Like, if Mike were to say himself, he probably wouldn't get any reaction. If Magic was to say himself, he probably wouldn't get no feedback. If same thing with Bird, same thing with Bill Russell. If those guys were to say something, people probably wouldn't say that. But because of who LeBron is, for him to say himself, he is going to get the response that he's been getting. But I don't fault him for saying it. But at the same time, you're absolutely correct. Finish your career. Let your career be the standard on which we choose as fans whether or not somebody else got to be taken down and you be put up. Because, buddy, in my eyes, you got a long way to go and not a lot of time to do it.
Exactly. And either one of our Mount Rushmore, that we talked about, with you having Bill Russell, me having Larry Bird on mine, I don't see LeBron.
Yeah.
I don't see LeBron even, and I'll just go ahead and say it. Unless LeBron runs off an unprecedented run of NBA championships, I don't see him overtaking Larry Bird, and I sure as hell see him overtaking Bill Russell. I do not see it. I refuse to see it for Russell's case, and I don't think he'll overtake Larry Bird. Larry Bird, there's a difference between Larry Bird and LeBron. Larry Bird is clutch. Always was clutch.
Yeah.
Have ice water in his veins, never fought through the big moment, never shrunk in it. LeBron became what, I'm using Skip Bayless' phrase, he was the frozen one in his first finals as a member of the Miami Heat against the Dallas Mavericks. Dallas had no business beating Miami that year. They had no damn business winning a game against Miami. Yet somehow Dallas beat them 4-2, actually won 4 straight games in the series, largely because LeBron struck at the moment.
Yeah.
They were down 0-2, and I take that back. They were tied 1-1, then Miami won game 3. I do remember that, because it was Dwayne Wade that carried them.
Okay,
Dwayne Wade won them game 3, and LeBron, Dwayne couldn't do but so much because LeBron kept choking. Remember that? To the point where in game 6 in Miami, he just disappeared. He was AWOL. There was nowhere to be found. And as a result, the Dallas celebrated on their home floor. If you go back even further, his playoff failures in Cleveland. Cleveland, his last 2 years in Cleveland, they were the best team in the NBA record wise. But they got stumped.
Yeah.
They actually got stumped in the championship round against Orlando, and they got spanked against the Celtics the year after.
Yeah,
and that was
that's part LeBron and that's part Mike Brown not having a coaching identity.
Well, that's true. That's true too.
I can't fully put it on him, but we've had the discussion about LeBron versus Larry Bird before, and the thing that sticks out to me most before, and I've said it before on your show, is the fact that the level of competition that Larry Bird had to face during his time was much greater than the level of competition that LeBron has to face.
That's one of the things where
Larry Bird's 3 titles to me will probably stick out a lot more than LeBron's however many titles he ends up with, unless he ends up with 6. If this dude ends up with 5 or 6, then I'm like, you know what? Okay. I may have to look at it, but I still can't say that he's in terms of being clutch. Unless he does something between now and the end of his career to prove me wrong. And this dude, as much as I hate to say it, keeps doing things to prove me wrong with the exception of showing that he's clutch. That's the one thing that he still has not done yet. Because in them beating San Antonio last year, it wasn't really. It was that shot. And, oh, my God, if I ever see Allen on the street, I'll punch him in his gut. Because, oh, man, he just hit that shot on that baseline, man. Had it been LeBron, I'd be like, wow, he was clutch. I mean, he played fantastic in that series. Don't get me wrong. Played fantastic.
Right.
He deserved to be the series MVP. In the finals last year. But without that shot from Ray Allen sending that game into overtime, they don't stretch that series out to game 7. And, I mean, I think I threw up the stat of teams that have won game 1 normally win game 7, but there was no way in the world that, in my eyes, San Antonio was going to go in to Miami and beat Miami at home in game 7. It was too much of a mountain to climb for them, even though they played extremely well for 3 quarters in that game.
Oh, they played ass as well. They played ass. They ran out of gas in game 7. They just ran out of gas. But going back to what you said earlier about Ray Allen hitting that shot in game 6, LeBron had a terrible game. He had a terrible game. He turned over the ball several times in the fourth quarter. He again shrunk from the moment. So think about how fortunes would have changed. LeBron would have been the frozen one once again because you had the San Antonio team who on paper was not as good as Miami, but they balled out. They came to play. And, LeBron, please. I mean, plus, going back to your earlier point where you said about Larry Bird, this is why Larry Bird is on my Rushmore of stars, by the way. To your point, the Sixers were tough. They had, with Dr. J and Moses Malone in their primes, okay?
Andrew Tony.
You have the Hawks. Now, you remember that epic seven-game series with the Hawks when he and Dominique Wilkins had that battle?
My God,
Boston
yes.
Garden?
Well, also came over that series when Meat took him to the brink. Yes.
I mean, that Hawks team was good, man. That Hawks team was good. And check this out. How about the Milwaukee Bucks back then? Terry Cummings, Dale Ellis, and a couple other
Jimmy
Moncrief.
Yeah.
They were good, man. They were good.
Yeah.
And Indiana wasn't a slouch. Who else? I'm missing somebody. I know I'm missing somebody.
Mid-80s.
Detroit Pistons, too. Detroit Pistons were good.
Oh, God, we forgot about Detroit.
you got the
Dabble. They were good in the early 90s. Yeah, the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, with Zeke.
Bird. Yes, Bird won 3 rings in the face of all that competition for the majority of the 80s. Think about that shit. And then, of course, facing Magic, was it 3 times in the finals?
So,
3 times. I think 3 times because he beat Magic once, and he lost to Magic twice. That's right.
Yeah.
He beat Magic once and lost him, and plus he beat the Rockets.
Uh-huh.
The Rockets had some good teams too. Now both those Rockets teams were good, especially the one with the latter with Akeem and Ralph Sampson. Controlling the post. But the point is, Larry Bird. Hell, Magic Johnson as well had stiff competition in the 80s. The Bad Boys,
yeah.
All those cats, they stiff a competition than it is now. Now the NBA is a watered-down league. I mean, you got too many damn teams. How many teams do you have? Like 1,000? I mean, they have too many damn teams. And I'm not hating on those markets where the teams in. I'm just telling the truth. There's too many damn teams in the league. And, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, for that matter, even with the Hornets and the Heat back in the 90s, the league was more competitive. It was more balanced.
Yeah.
And, it makes me respect Jordan even more because even Jordan had to go through tough teams. He went through my Knicks. The Knicks, the Hornets were very competitive. The Pacers were very competitive. Exactly. I mean, they had a lot of morning in those boys down there doing their thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just better. It was a better league. And then the Western Conference weren't slouches either, even though they all fell to the Bulls. But the point I'm trying to make is, and you're making this point with me as well, all those members on our Mount Rushmore had better, stiffer competition. In particular, Kareem, Magic, Bird, and Jordan, and Bill Russell. I mean, either one of those cats has stiffer competition, and so that's why I don't see LeBron ever usurping, if you will, either Bird or Bill Russell for those reasons alone. I don't see it. He has to win 10 damn championships in a row for me to even consider. Let's put it that way. I respect LeBron. I respect this game. The boy can ball. But come on. I know I don't want again to have a comparing errors, but I'm going to compare errors. The NBA of today is more watered down than it was in the 80s and 90s. It's just this.
Yeah.
And, I mean, granted, you got young stars now. You got Kevin Durant doing the same. Michael Westbrook, I could go on and on and on. You got Chris Paul, Blake Griffin in Clipper Land. I mean, you got a lot of good cats out there. Those cats in Portland are doing their thing. It's just not – to me.
It's not the same.
Maybe because I'm just old school from old folks, life is not good. It's just not the same. But hey, I don't have any beef with your Mount Rushmore. I don't have any beef with Skip Bayless about Mount Rushmore because it's the same Mount Rushmore as I have. But LeBron, my message to you, my brother, chill, do your thing, shut the hell up, go and stay away from the grown folks table. So anyway, I'll let you go and watch the NBA All-Star game. I need to be doing that myself. But thanks a lot for doing this on short notice, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem, brother. You know me. I enjoy this conversation, so I'm glad I was able to have it.
Yeah, man. Hey, me too. It was fun. Thanks a lot, bro.
All right, thank you.
All right, peace out.
Peace.
All right. That was my man, Dwayne Nash. That was a fun discussion, wasn't it? I mean, for LeBron to say what he did, and Glenn, like I said before, to Dwayne's point, I understand why he had to say it, because what great player wouldn't want to say that he can't replace any of those people on the Mount Rushmore, on the NBA Mount Rushmore? Who wouldn't say that? I mean, that's out of pride. But just let's be honest here. LeBron's not replacing Kareem. He's not replacing Magic. Not replacing Bird. And sure as hell not replacing Michael Jordan. I mean, that's just it. That's just how I see it. So LeBron, God bless you for doing your thing. You're not going to catch any of those cats anytime soon. Hell, even Bill Russell, but that matter. Hell, I stole my Oscar Robertson phone, me too. Akeem Olajuwon, I could go on and on. But anyway, my time is up. Got first with the clown on. Old Six, have a good night. Be south, stay warm if you're up the north. All right.